don't know what he's going to do. But I'm really thankful that I don't know what he's going to do. How many of you guys know church should be that way?
Yeah.
We should come to church not knowing. If you come to church every week and you know exactly what's going to happen, that's called boring. Well, this morning, not boring. So Jesus, you guys stretch your hands towards my buddy. Lord, we thank you. Lord, touch Nick. Just release him again. Freedom in this house. You speak. You move. Holy Spirit, through him for us. Words of wisdom, knowledge, healing, signs, wonders, your word. Whatever you have for us this session, Lord, you speak it. We bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody say, bless you, Nick. Come on, one more. Bless you, Nick.
Woo!
Come on.
Man, I love you guys. What an honor to be with you guys. I don't know how we can sing a song, Healer, and not operate in healing today. Listen, in Exodus chapter 15, God will reveal himself, and God will reveal himself to Moses as the I am the God who heals all your sickness and disease. And to say that Jesus can't do these things today takes him from the I am, the great I am, to the great I was, and that's just not true. I live in a culture, if you weren't here this weekend, I see God do amazing miracles and never gets old. I was just thinking about this. We're up here praying. You know, when I've had the opportunity to pray for people that are blind and their sight recovers, and it's just this coolish epiphany that when you see them, somebody, I'm praying for a guy in Brazil, his optic nerve was severed, so just completely blind. And he does this moment like he's looking around the room. And he just does this moment of just like, and I've gotten to see that. He's just looking around the room and just says, this room is yellow, isn't it? I'm like, bro, it's yellow. And had the opportunity of a woman in Brazil praying and the same thing. She just kind of looks at that moment and starts saying, I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. No. And just seeing the nature of God. And I was just out here in LA YWAM not too long ago. Had the opportunity. I've seen God do this multiple times. Scoliosis, you know, spines are bent. And see, God did. We actually had a girl in our church in Montana. And we prayed. And she had scoliosis. And she actually grew 2 inches. Is that amazing? I don't have scoliosis. I'm just praying God grow me another 2 inches. Yeah. More, Lord. Woo! And one of my favorites, because it tells me about the heart of God. I've seen this happen. God do at least 4 times. I was in Lynchburg, Virginia at a Foursquare thing. And I could hear the Lord say, cutters. And I just felt like God was going to heal their heart because of the emotional damage and hurt and pain and woundedness that goes along with a cutter. I can relate to that because one of my daughters was a cutter. She was sexually abused in the 6th grade by a school teacher. Man, talk about like, and just that pain that goes along with it. And so we're at a Foursquare camp and I just go, yeah, I feel like God's healing cutters. And this girl, like you can imagine, like it's in the South, it's humidity's baking. She has a hoodie on and she's screaming like, ah! And I'm like, honey, what's wrong? She goes, look at this. And she lifts up her arm and I'm like, what am I looking at? She goes, I'm the cutter, man. And my scars are gone. My scars have gone. And I've seen that happen multiple times. I was in Seattle, man. I was in Seattle and the same thing. Like this 14-year-old girl had a word of knowledge that a cutter would get healed. And she's like, look, Mr. Goff, look at this, man. Like all my cutter scars are gone. Like the scars on my arm and my legs are gone. I go, I trust y'all that. But how many of you know the Lord loves to heal because it's just in his nature. And so I want to get down here. There's nothing more awesome when you see people in wheelchairs get out of wheelchairs. Because you know what it does? It says that our God lives. And our God does this stuff today. And he uses us, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things because we're an ambassador for his kingdom. That's what my Bible says. And as an ambassador, listen, that means you have full diplomatic authority of the kingdom that you represent. That's why Mark 16:17 says, these signs will follow. They follow us. We don't even have to chase them, right? They follow us. Like, hey, healing, can you come here, man? Okay, come here. We need to see this thing operate. And so, listen, man, I want to tell you what. God is alive today. We are coming into one of the greatest, I believe, movements of God of all times, historic move of God, where it's just not going to be a few people. I remember one time this kid going, well, you know, you do those things, man. And this kid was down in Brazil, and he got to pray and see this woman with cancer completely healed. Listen, God wants to give you a reputation in your city. We've seen cancer heal so much that the oncologist in our hospital refers people to us. This is pretty cool, right? I'll tell you a real quick story. I'm the chaplain for the police, and so my first day doing a drive along with one of the FTOs, field training officers, and this guy, I didn't know this, now he's like one of my best friends. We're getting ready to hop in the patrol car, and he's like, "Listen, man, I don't want to talk any effing thing about Jesus. Do you copy that?" I'm like, "Roger that, sir." So we hop in the patrol car, you know, we drive away. I'm like, "This is going to be an awkward day." The dude shows up to my office, and he's crying, and he's in the office crying. Our divorce rate in the police department is like 90%. So I figured he had like something falling out with his wife. And so he comes in. I go, "Steve, are you okay?" And he goes, "Bro, I just got back from the oncologist." And I'm like, "What's going on?" He goes, "He has this gigantic like purple nodule thing going on right here." He goes, "I just got back from the oncologist. I got stage 4 cancer. It's systemic throughout my whole body. They give me 30 days, maybe possibly as long as 60 days to live." And I wasn't feeling like very spiritual. You know what I mean? Like sometimes, you know, "Oh my gosh, I'm feeling Holy Spirit goose pimples." The Holy Spirit's not an emotion, okay? He's a person. So we prayed for him, right? And not thinking anything about it, I get a call about a day later. He's back at the oncologist. He calls me up, no offense, but this is just, the police department can be a little bit rough, right? "Pastor Nick, Steve, what's going on?" "I'm having the best effing day of my life." I go, "Steve, what's going on?" He's like, "I'm at the oncologist." I go, "So what's happening?" "They're going to send me to Seattle." "Why?" "Because they don't know what's going on with my body." "Steve, what's going on with your body?" "There's not a trace of cancer at all in my body." And so I always laugh when people go, "How come God doesn't do miracles in the U.S. anymore?" Listen, Montana hasn't seceded from the Union yet, all right? And so thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So I want to pray for some of you people today and go around. And then Craig told me we had till 3 today. We're going to take a break and go. Yeah. Everybody in the conference is like, "Arr." Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody in here right now and you've been dealing with some teeth issues? You've got teeth problems going on right now. I want to pray for you. Raise your hand up. Father, thank you. Keep your hands up. Thank you, Jesus. If you're near them, lay hands on them, would you? This isn't a spectator thing. It's just, Father, we pray right now that, Father, I pray right now that feelings would be filled and inflammation that would be healed now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we believe your good report. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I got to tell you a true story. I forgot about this. This happened so many years ago. I was in Southern California as a youth pastor, and my wife went to the doctor, and then she came back, and as a youth pastor, we just didn't have a lot of money. She goes, "Nick, I got 7 cavities," which I said, "Brush your teeth, girl." And see, we prayed for her. We go back to the doctor. The doctor takes x-rays and has to take them again. He goes, "What happened?" And she goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, "These are the x-rays, and I was getting prepared to fill your teeth, and these are the ones I just taken. You don't have any cavities." And so thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is anybody here dealing with an autoimmune deficiency kind of disease? Anybody dealing with any type of autoimmune deficiency? Right there. Okay, you're the one. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, I told the story in the conference, and so I got to tell you this. So, and keep your hands up. I was in Montana, and I got a friend of mine who works at Pasadena IHOP, the International House of Prayer. And he's like, "Nick," he goes, "why don't you see more miracles?" And I go, "I don't know. No one's ever told me." He goes, "Just ask God what he wants to do." And that's what I'm doing right now. It's just a word of knowledge. There are, in 1 Corinthians 12, there's 9 gifts, and 4, some people would say 5 of the 9 gifts are revelatory gifts. They involve hearing the voice of God. So all I'm saying is, hey, God, do this. But I went up my first service, and I first time I'd done this, we live in a very economically depressed town, and I go, "Yeah, I feel like there's, the Lord's telling me he wants to hear autoimmune deficiency diseases today. I feel like there's 2 women here. If you're stand up, that one lady's a first-time visitor, never been to church before at all, right? So she doesn't have any paradigm. So you could imagine this. It'd be just like you, Hannah, standing up right there where everybody could see it. She stands up, and she looks at her friend. She's like, "What's up with this?" I'm like, "I will never do this again, okay?" She goes, "Honey, just praying for you. No, what's up with this? Honey, just praying for you. Well, why'd they turn the air conditioner on me?" "Honey, they didn't turn the air conditioner on in front of everybody." "Well, there's wind blowing over my body right now. What's going on with this?" Listen, she gets completely healed of fibromyalgia. And number 2, I'll never forget this. You'll laugh at this. Her name is Wendy. So, Father, keep your hand up. Those people with autoimmune deficiencies, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray complete healing over you. I pray strength to your body right now and a correctiveness in your body right now, Father, that you would align, that you would straighten. Thank you, Lord. I speak strength right now. Strength, strength, strength. Strength, strength, strength in the name of Jesus. I speak strength. This thing has got you kind of weary at times, right? It hits you and stuff like that. Thank you, Jesus. And so I just pray over your body. I pray against inflammation. That's been part of the thing, right? It's been like this thing. You got to be cognitive of what you eat and things like that. And so, Lord, I pray over that right now. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we just speak over you right now. No, is it Crohn's or something? What's going on? So, Father, we just pray right now, heal it now in the name of Jesus. I don't care what the name of it is. We just say, be healed now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many of you guys know the Lord loves to heal backs? I'm going to pray for some men here. You have bad back problems. Stand up right now in the name of Jesus. I want you to move around. Come, Holy Spirit. I just heard the Lord say, guys with bad breath. Maybe it was bad breath. I don't know. Yeah, so Father, and ma'am, I'm going to pray for you as well. Father, if anybody with bad back, stand up. Father, I pray over these backs right now in the name of Jesus. If you're near them, lay your hands on their back right now. And in the name of Jesus, we speak backs be whole now, vertebrae, tendons, ligaments right now, Father. I pray against any compressed disc right now in the name of Jesus that you'd be whole and the Lord would regenerate right now. If you're getting prayed for, I want you to move a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is anybody feeling any reprieve in your back? If you do, lift your hand up and say, I'm feeling God doing something. That guy back there, thank you, Jesus. Father, more healing right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, well it up right now. Well it up more. Hannah, would you lay your hands on her back? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Is there a woman in here that you've been getting migraine headaches? You've been getting migraine headaches, a woman? Ma'am, we're going to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. I just pray right now. Thank you, Jesus. And you guys with the backs, thank you, Lord. You can still stay up, man. Don't worry. It's cool. You guys are in the migraines? Thank you, Lord. I pray over those migraine headaches right now. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray against that photosensitive kind of thing that you've been dealing with. And that, Father, we pray complete healing over you now. Now, in the name of Jesus. Complete healing now in the name of Jesus. Complete healing now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Amen, amen, amen. There's just something about this row in here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You guys can look up at me. Are you guys related or just friends or what? All right, that's what I felt. I felt that there was a connection there. Thank you, Lord. The glory of God is going to come upon you. And you guys are going to, there's a realm. The Lord's saying, get out of your mind, get plugged in. I feel like you're a little bit reserved on some things. And the Lord's saying, getting plugged in. Have you known the Lord for a long time? That's what I felt, like you've kind of been dealing with it, but the Lord's had you on a cross, you're kind of at a crossroads right now, and the Lord's saying, chase him. He'll give you your heart's desires if you chase him. He'll make things right if you chase him. He'll open up doors for you if you chase him. Those very things, because you're very creative, the Lord's blessed your mind. I felt like you got this academic thing on you, right? Like you're anointed to do that, and God's going to provide for you right now, but you got to chill a little bit, okay, because the Lord loves you. Right? And just, you're hard on yourself, and I break any of that anxiety stuff off that you've been dealing with right now, and the Lord's going to bless you. He's your hope. He's your thing. I feel like some people have planted some things in your mind, and I just pray that off of you right now in the name of Jesus. You're going to be a woman of fire. You're going to go into areas that other people wouldn't go into, and you're going to be a voice. You're going to be a light in the name of Jesus, and you're a woman who operates in humility, but there's been anointing and a call of God on your life since you're a little girl. When you're a little girl, you used to tell your mom, I'm going to go in the mission field. Right? You used to tell her, like, Mom, I feel like God's called me to the nations, and God hasn't forgot that promise that he's prayed over you, even as you're a little girl, amen? Does that make any sense to you? Thank you, Lord. So fire over you. Let's just bless her. We bless you. 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 You're loved, man. Look at all these people, man. They love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so thank you, Lord. You're going to be a bearer of truth. You're going to be a soul winner in the kingdom of God. I see little kids around you, and I just thank you, Jesus. I pray for more compassion, more joy. You just emanate that right now. You're good about believing God for other people, and the Lord's saying as you've sown, you're going to reap back. You're going to see just the promises of God happen in your life. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bro, man, I was just drawn to you. You got the coolest hair, man. I like your sandals, too. You got a pair of Olakais on. Those are rocking. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You carry the father heart, and there's a generation that's just looking for papa heart. And I hear the Lord saying you're going to be a better father than your own father was. There's creative gifts in you. There's things that God's put in you, resonating in you. I just bless your body. I bless your strength. I bless the call of God that's on your life right now, because I feel like you've been battling with some stuff, right? And the Lord's going to come down, and this is going to be a season of strength right now. I hear the Lord saying almost like pick up your palette and start going for this thing, and you're just going to experience that. There's been a lot of warfare associated with this thing, but there's promises of God. There's promises of God over your life that you're going to see happen. I feel like the Lord's saying that there's a movement happening, and the best is yet to come. I felt like you might have been involved with other movements, but Lord is saying there's a new one, and you're going to be part of it. And let me just see your hands. Father, I pray the strength of the living God over you right now. I bless your body with strength, strength, strength in the name of Jesus. And I say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap, man. Well, praise God, man. It's good to be with you guys. And I'm going to share something about with my own story today that has revolutionized my life. Now, I got to say, I don't know if you've ever dealt with theological denial. Theological denial is where the scriptures clearly give a point, but your own theology blocks it out. So if you were to say, well, I don't believe spiritual gifts are for today, I'd say, man, that's a denial of what scriptures clearly teach. The word of God, the gifts are good for today. But I've had my own. I live in a culture where we see things. I grow up, travel about a third of the year. I teach for a guy named Randy Clark. I get the opportunity to be a part of him. And that guy just sees amazing miracles. Miracles are just part of the kingdom of God, right? I mean, I'm just in YWAM, Montana. Pray for a girl's scoliosis. For the last 14 years, she can only bend down to here, right? She has metal rods in her back. And we pray, and she touches the ground, and she comes back, and she starts crying. I'm thinking she got hurt or something like that, right? I go, you okay? She's like, oh, gloria a Dios, oh, right? She's like all excited. I'm like, what's going on? She goes, I haven't been able to do that for 14 years, man. And this is what got even weirder on that. Like, her dad's in Brazil, calls her up right after we got out of class and goes, honey, are you okay? And she goes, why? He goes, I had this vision of a hurricane all around you, and you're in the middle. Are you okay? She goes, Dad, I'm not only okay. That wasn't a warning vision that you had. That was the Holy Spirit all around me. Dad, I can move. I can operate. And so there's something that impacted me. I don't know, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago. And I got my doctorate with this guy named Roland Baker, his wife Heidi. They're in Mozambique, Africa, and they see a lot of crazy things. And so we sent a team down to Mozambique, and I'm telling the team, yeah, chances are you're going to see miracles. You know, when we go to Brazil, all of our people get to experience miracles. I mean, and it's not an age thing, right? I shared this in the conference. I have 5 daughters, and one of my daughters who's now was playing lacrosse in Whitman College, and she's just a normal kid. Can I just say this? Like, God wants ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He just uses us, right? So my daughter, who was 13 at the time, I'm calling her up, I'm FaceTiming her, and she's like, real matter of fact, I'm talking to her, like, honey, what'd you see today? She's like, Dad, I prayed for 3 people, deaf people today, they got their hearing back. I'm like, what? You prayed for 3 deaf people today, they got, oh, I'm like doing the touchdown, Jesus, like, yes! I go, honey, is that the coolest thing that you've ever seen, like 3 deaf people get their hearing back? She's like, no, Dad, I saw something cooler than that. I'm like, how could you have seen something cooler than 3 deaf people get in your hearing back? She goes, Dad, I prayed with a girl today that had pterodactyl hands and she got healed. I'm like, what does that mean, honey? She goes, you know, Dad, those little deformed hands, they look like little hands like this. And Dad, I prayed and I saw her arms grow out like this and her hands grow out like this. And so I'm telling my team that's going down to Mozambique, I'm like, you guys are gonna see miracles. And so they get back, and I had this one person really indignant. Like, Pastor Dick, man, I took my time. I took my money. I went down to Mozambique, Africa, and we didn't see any miracles. And I go, you guys didn't see any miracles? What did you do? Well, we go out in these villages and stuff. We show the Jesus film. And I go, so what did that look like? Well, you know, like, all these Muslims would come into the village and the Jesus film and stuff like that. And, well, did anybody get saved? Well, yeah, we saw 1,000 people get saved. And I started to cry. I'm like, you saw 1,000 people get saved in a Muslim village, and you don't think that's a miracle? Like, you're going to go home to your fancy house, and you're going to go home, and these guys got to go back, and they're going to live and die for the gospel, and you don't get what a miracle is? See, miracles, Acts 2:22, attest signs, wonders, and miracles, a test. The only reason we get miracles and all the stuff that happens is like a real big warning, like, hey, this is real. And the greatest miracle is bringing people into the kingdom of God. So I just wept, and I'm thinking, what is the deal here? And this is my theological denial, and I heard Heather talk about it the other day in the conference. If you didn't hear it, get the tape, right? In Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, and this is where it really rocked me, and it was one of those things, my theological denial, I would just kind of bypass this. And Jesus is speaking. How do we know that? It's written in red. That's in your Bible. And Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does, listen to this, underline it, the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then he will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now I'm thinking to myself, whoa, how is it that these people can be operating in the stuff? And my life has been like passionate, like about the stuff, about signs, wonders, and miracles, man. It blew me away. I lead so many people to Jesus when I'm outside in the streets and they see God do the stuff, and it's just really easy to do. And if you want to do the things that Jesus does and evangelize like Jesus does, Jesus didn't keep it here inside the church. Listen. People come from all around the world to come to where I live to fly fish. Now, I'm going to tell you a really weird story. And in my hot tub the other day, I tried fly fishing. And I tried fly fishing for about an hour. And I tried wet flies, dry flies. Nothing worked. I was really disappointed. I wasn't catching anything. Then I tried some plastic bait. I didn't catch anything. I finally took a bobber with a worm, put it in my hot tub. I did not catch a thing. Now, you're looking at me like, that is the craziest story. What are you talking about? Listen. The fish aren't in the hot tub. The fish are out in the river. And the lost aren't here. They're outside this door. Why would we try fishing inside the church when God's saying, go out there and do the things I do that people might believe? God's tearing down the bubble, Pastor Craig. So how is it that these people who do all these things don't know God, and the Lord will say they practice lawlessness? Well, 1 Corinthians 13, 2 is going to say this. If I have the gift of prophecy, know all mysteries, know all knowledge, and I have all faith as so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. So here is the deal. Flip to the back part of your Bible, to 1 John 4, 7, and 8. And 1 John 4, 7, and 8 will explain Matthew 7 to us. And this is what John the Apostle is going to say. And he says, beloved, let us love one another. Can we say, let us love one another? Let us love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now you got to listen to this. Verse 8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now that's just, I want to back up on this because this just rocks me. Listen. You can do all these amazing things in Jesus' name. You can operate and see amazing, amazing miracles because it's just a gift. But the rubber hits the road if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, which is, I think, the book of Corinthians is a corrective letter to the church of Corinth. They were seeing God do amazing things in Corinth, right? And then right between 12, by the way, did you know the Bible? If I was to ask you, the Bible dictates our attitude on things, I believe. Right? If I was to ask you, do you believe we're to love the Lord our God with all our soul strength, right? Do you guys, anybody believe that, right? With spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, don't be unaware about spiritual gifts. You guys need to be informed about spiritual gifts. What gifts? The exegesis, or taking things in context, are those nine gifts. And then, right, are you with me on that? And then he's going to come back in 1 Corinthians 14, and twice he's going to say, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. Right? Especially you may prophesy. You know what I think the prophetic is? One of the greatest things. This is a story of me fishing, okay? I live in a culture. I was just in Oklahoma City, spoke with Bethel, Oklahoma, and it was amazing to me because, you know, you come in a new place, certain things catch you. If you were to come into my city, you would drive down the street and go, oh my gosh, look at all the casinos, right? One casino after another. I think just on the street I'm on right now, there's like over 100 casinos. It's just pandemic. I was in Oklahoma City. The place is pandemic with churches. I'm just kind of like sitting there like, wow, look at all these churches. And so we take teams to fish in the casinos, right? And I'm going to tell you what, it's legit. Operating in the gifts is legit. I have an associate pastor, used to be on staff with YWAM. I don't know if you're familiar with what YWAM stands for. It's Young Youth Without Any Money. And so we go in this casino, right? And we're sitting in this casino, and we give a woman a prophetic word, a waitress, and like she's crying, and she's like, oh my God. Less than 5 minutes, she gives her heart to Jesus. She goes back, and she drags out one of her friends, and she's like, do that thing to her. So we do that thing to her. We give her a prophetic word. She's crying like, oh, she gives her heart to Jesus. Now they go get this woman. They bring her out, pull her out. And this is the visual. You got to get this. This is her, right? Lodge, modge, and in charge. I give a word to her, right? She's like, what do you want? And I go, well, we hear messages from God. Can we just give you one? Sure. I start it off. I give her a word. I go, does that make sense? She's like, no, no, no. My friend Chris is like, que es más macho, señor Chris, es el jefe. Chris gives her a word, right? Does that make sense? Simultaneously, he's on this side of the table, on this side of the table. We put our heads down. We became Catholic. Oh. I look up at her. I go, okay, this is the deal, man. You got a daughter. She's 4 years old. Her name is Michelle. Is that right? And she's like, yeah. And so within like 15 minutes, we led 3 people to Jesus. Where do I get that from? John chapter 4, when Jesus sits down with the Samaritan woman. That's how he does this, okay? But when it comes to this thing about love and not loving, this is an emphatic thing for us that we need to know how to love. If you have your Bibles, flip over to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to read this to you. Paul's going to write to the church of Ephesus, starting in verse 3, 14 to 21. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. And I pray that his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. How many of you guys know the kingdom of God is in power? 1 Corinthians 4:20, if you want to know how to evangelize, Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, we didn't come to you in word, but in power, right? Can I just say that if it worked in the early church, not just preaching, it's not in either or. Sometimes we have the propensity to be, you know, taste great, less filling, you know. The reality is it's both and, okay? Paul says that we didn't come to you to demonstrate words, but demonstration of power. What am I talking about? The word is dunamis. It means dunamis always cracks me up, by the way. Dunamis, it says, you shall receive power, Acts 1:8, to become a witness. Power is in the kingdom of God, and it's what brings people to the Lord. I love pastoral interpretations of the word dunamis, right? Because you'll hear pastors talk, and they'll say, dunamis. That's where we get the word is a derivative of the word dynamite. Now, when I hear dynamite, I think dangerous. Does anybody think that way? Dynamite, dangerous? But dunamis, Kittle's Theological Dictionary would say it's the ability to effect miracles. Right? He will endudamus you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. You know what? This thing about Christ in us, it's reality, not a feeling or emotion. My mom calls me up. I got an aunt, 84 years old, dying of Alzheimer's. She's emaciated. She's maybe down to 75 pounds. I wasn't feeling spiritual. She goes, hey, will you and your brother go pray for your aunt? I'm like, sure. We walk in the hospital room. Here she is. She's not cognitive of anything. There's nothing mental going on with her. And my brother, who's not a believer, goes, dude, why are we even here? Let's just leave. I go, well, your mom wants us to pray for Aunt Hannah. You can imagine this woman in bed, near death, just emaciated, kind of doing the death rattle thing. And I just grabbed her hand. I said, Lord, I just pray for Aunt Hannah. This old woman freaked me out, pulls herself out of bed. Whoa, pulls herself out of bed, looks at me in the face. You have the light. You have the light. I need the light in my life. I need the light in my life. My brother was like, oh! No lie. My brother's in the parking lot. He has 2 cigarettes. Smoking 2 cigarettes. He's like, Dude, she was talking about Jesus, huh? She's talking about Jesus. I don't think she's talking about Bud Light. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Sometimes, listen, the devil wants to mess you up. He wants to shame you, condemn you. But he's in us. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. He wants to make his heart in you. Now, listen to this. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love. Listen, if your roots are not down in his love, if your roots aren't growing down into his love, if you aren't getting your source from his love, then you become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Isn't that amazing? Like here between 12 and 14, don't be ignorant with spiritual gifts. You know, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, pursue them, right? But in the middle, God puts this thing about love. Why? Because if your roots aren't down here in this love, drawing it out so that other people can see it, you're a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. Your roots will go down into his love. And listen to this, verse 18. And then you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, listen to this, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. See, we can't even grasp how amazing is his love. Can I just say right now, there's a world outside these doors when we leave today that is crying out for the love of God. Now look at this verse 19. May you experience the love of Christ. See, this thing with the love of the Lord, it's an experience. It's an experience. Some people get wicked out, right? No, the Bible says, taste and see the Lord is good. The Lord wants you to experience his love. Now, I want you to close your eyes, because sometimes we get inoculated. We've heard so many times that we don't listen and let it sink down into us. Craig and I were talking today, and I'm like, Craig, for the last 2 or 3 years, I want to love. I want to love. I want to be an ambassador of love. This friend, Leif Hetland, he's coming to our church. He's led a million Muslims to the Lord. A million Muslims to the Lord. And you know what they call him? The apostle of love. A million people to Jesus. 1 million, one man leading 1 million people. What can you do in Los Angeles? I want you to close your eyes and listen to this. Because Paul's going to say, he's going to start off, you know, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and know all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not love, I'm nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is not in a hurry. Love doesn't want things to happen on your own time scale. Love bears with all stuff. Love is patient. If I deliver, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is kind. Are you familiar with the word oxymoron? Tiny, you know, jumbo shrimp, tiny elephant, military intelligence. You know what an oxymoron is? Mean Christians. Mean Christians. Mean Christians. And I know so many mean Christians. I know so many mean Christians. It just breaks me, the amount of mean Christians I know, because love is kind. And so if we're an ambassador for the king and he's love, if we're ambassador for the king who's love, and they look at us, end of the day is how well did you love? Because love is kind, and there's something in us that God is changing in this next generation, that we're going to do the stuff, but we are going to emanate the love of God, and we're going to be kind. Is it painful? Yeah, love went to the cross. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Oh, how come Craig has this church, and how come I don't have the church, and how come this person has this? Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love does not brag. And it's not arrogant. Love does not act unbecoming. It doesn't seek its own. Love is not provoked. And love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. If there's anything that we need to get down, is to become unoffendable. It is to look to get out of our account and get this forgiveness thing down, because what I've found in my life, I can say I forgive, but usually it's a process of forgiving, a process of blending. It's usually not a one-time event, and I want to love. I want to get out of my account unforgiveness. I don't want to get bitter. I'm tired of the bitter stuff. I'm tired of being offendable. I want to become unoffendable and have such glory on my life that it just, oof, that doesn't bother me at all. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but love rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love holds in there with kids that are way upside down. Love holds in there when with spouses aren't doing the things that they do. Love holds in there. It bears all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. 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 You can look up at me. And so my theological denial, as I'm studying my doctorate and have to read all these people and all these things, and something that got me really mad is John Wesley, 76 years old at the time. And if you've ever studied early Methodism, the things that happened with John Wesley, you know, people get all bent out of shape over Toronto and Brownsville, and that's nothing new in revival movements. It's normative in revival movements where people shake. Have you ever, right, there's a group called the Quakers. Remember the Quakers? You know how they got their name? They invented oatmeal. Holy Spirit would come upon them. They shake. Shakers, Quakers. People would fall down. People would scream. People would shout. In John Wesley's movement, there's actually a guy named John Lavington who writes, and he said, this stuff is of the devil. And that's that same spirit of Lavington. But what happened in John Wesley's meeting? I've never seen this before, but Wesley would get up and start preaching, and the doors of the sanctuary and the windows of the sanctuary would blow it out. They called them Holy Spirit explosions. Is that nuts? Presence of God so heavy that they blow out, right? And so Wesley experienced this. Wesley's 76 years old. He's talking to a young guy, John Fletcher. He's 24. And when I read Fletcher, it just cracks me up. Because Fletcher, I could just see myself in the same thing, man. I'm like 24-year-old guy, and he's dialoguing with Wesley. He's like, I don't care what we call this. He's just frustrated because Wesley wants to be able to communicate this. I don't care what we call this. A fountain, a power, a glorious visitation. I don't care what we call it. I just want it. But Wesley, no, he's like, listen, this is something. And when he said it and he's talking about it, Wesley comes to this conclusion, and I disagreed, and I made him mad, and I shut the book, and I put it away. Because what Wesley believed is this filling of the Holy Spirit, it's just not about the power, it's greater than that. And what Wesley believed is, it's an empowerment to love perfectly. And that made me mad. I'm like, why do I need to be empowered to love perfectly? I do all these things. I'm a signs and wonders guy. But then I had to look inward. Yeah, Nick, I graced you with the ability to do signs and wonders, but how well do you love? And then I got broken. I got broken. You know what I mean when you get broken? Because then my theological denial and all my stuff and all my brokenness and all my ick and all my jealousy and all the stuff and all my stuff that I'm offended and all these things, I had to start looking inward. And I just started looking at my own stuff because I'm realizing that, yeah, I do the stuff and I've been using the stuff as to cover up this. And God knows my heart. And he's been so patient with me. And so I got mad. Made me even greater when I started studying William Seymour. He's the founder of the Azusa Street Revival. Seymour, man, you wouldn't believe the things that went on. They talk about the glory being there. The house of Azusa Street going up in flames. It was just normative. The people, cancers would be healed. People with cancers beating the whole face would just cover up. Seymour would pray for so many people. One of his specialties, anointings, probably the gift of healing, was he'd pray for people that came in with prosthetic limbs, and people would take their prosthetic limbs off, and arms and legs would grow out. I get the opportunity. There's this founder of the Jesus movement is this guy, Lonnie Frisbee. He's really the catalyst. And I'm hanging out with this guy and I go, bro, what was it like being with Lonnie Frisbee? He goes, yeah, dude. He goes, I'm down in Newport Beach. He goes, I've seen Lonnie command eyes and eyes are grown back. I've seen them. He goes, Nick, I was down in Newport Beach and this girl had a nub of an arm. And Lonnie goes up and goes, raise your arm and praise the Lord. And she goes, are you making fun of me? He goes, no, raise your arm and praise the Lord. Nick, I saw her lift her nub up. I saw the arm grow out. And William Seymour, founder of Azusa Street. See, you got to look at things contextually. This is 1906. What did that even mean, 1906? 3,400 lynchings. All because of just people of different color. Racism embedded into our culture. Horrific. I can't even quote. I can't even quote the articles coming out of the LA Times. Horrific, horrific, horrific. The biggest criticism of the Azusa Street Revival is different ethnicities are hanging out together. And William Seymour, he feels the same way. We have the thing, he goes, this is what he says, because I find that in moves of God, we tend to focus on what God was doing in that movement. For me, I got to be out of the Jesus movement. I got to be in the whole Toronto thing in 94. That was a long time ago. What the Toronto thing, it became, at least in our grade, we got to get blasted. What happened in 1906 was tongues. And I speak in tongues. I want to pray. I'm going to pray that God does that for you today. But William Seymour says this, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not tongues. So maybe it's greater than that. Maybe Wesley is right, that maybe there's an empowerment to love. Maybe the power of God, who is love, God is love, he's not like love. Maybe God wants to so fill us that we leave today going, I'm oozing. I need a revelation. Pastor, am I okay speaking this stuff? And so I want you right now, I'm going to pray. Are you guys down with this? So we're going to say, come Holy Spirit right now. Actually, why don't we do this? There's prayer teams. So prayer teams, come up here. And worship, somebody who plays, I don't know. You play a fiddle or whatever, get up on team. Come on up. And as you're coming up, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come today. Get out of your seats right now. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And we're going to believe for a supernatural encounter. Now listen, I'm going to pray today, if you already have tongues, I'm going to pray that we get baptized in love. The Greek word for baptized is baptizo. It's literally, it's like you're going to get engulfed. But before you come up in prayer, can we just do this right now? Can we look inward right now? David's going to say in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. See, David's familiar with the presence of God. Lord, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in your house. Because see, the reality is this in our humanity. You can't cover up our heart. Sometimes we cover up our gifts, what we do. Men are really good about this. We start talking, our dialogue is, so what do? Your identity is not in what you do. Your identity is who you know. My identity is, you know, I'm born again. I'm a follower of Jesus. When I get to heaven, I want to hear the well done, good and faithful servant, not well done, good and faithful pastor. I want to be a friend of God. I got to hang out with this woman. Her name is Bonnie Jones, and her husband is a guy named Bob Jones. And Bob dies, and he goes to heaven. He said when he walked into heaven, there was a gigantic heart, and there's a huge line. And he walks in, and into this heart is Jesus. And Jesus was asking everybody in this heart two questions. How well did you love? He said the woman in front of him, Jesus said, well, ma'am, I know that you love me. I know you love me. But you didn't love others. You didn't love others. Can I ask you a question? Like, how well are you loving right now? I'm not even close. I'm not even close. I got a friend who runs the Atlanta Dream Center. I was down there in the middle of August, man. We're opening doors up at just houses that were just putrid. The smell was so pungent, I felt like I was going to get sick. And I just see Pastor Paul going up and just loving, putting his arms around these people that I was almost repulsed by because of the smells and all the stuff, and just embracing and loving and weeping with them. I don't know about you, but I want to love. So Holy Spirit, come. Maybe there's things you just need to confess to the Lord right now. Just let it come right now. The Lord can so relate to your brokenness. The devil wants you to make you offended. He wants to bring pain through broken relationships, rejection, warped sense of father heart through parents that are messed up. So when we approach him like, man, we kind of relate like, man, is the father like my father? He's not. Lord, we come to you right now, Father. Fill us up right now. Fill us up. There's some people, Lord, just setting free right now. There's some people here that are, you've had addictions. I'm not going to call those addictions out because I don't believe that God shames. But right now, despite your addiction, he loves you. And he's freeing you up right now. Thank you, Lord. I want you to come out of your seats and we're going to pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Baptize us in love. Baptize us in love. Baptize us in love. And when you come up and get prayed for, come with an expectation that God is going to do what you're asking him to do. You need to come out of your seats. Come up. Come forward. Come forward. Come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pour it out right now. Pour it out right now. More, Lord, more, more. Create in us a clean heart, Lord. Renew in us a right spirit. Fill us up. Less of us and more of you. Thank you, Jesus. As you guys are up here, I'm going to say, come, Holy Spirit, right now. Fill this room. Fill this room. If you don't want to come up, put your hands before the Lord. The Bible says, lift holy hands. Hebrew connotation thought of lifting holy hands is, that Father is going to fill me. Father, fill us up right now. Fill this room up right now. Fill this room up right now. Father, we want to be empowered to love, 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 empowered to love. More, Lord, more, more, more. Pour it out now. More, Lord, more. In this room, more. More, God. Fall in this place. Overflow right now. Overflow in this room right now. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to come down off the stage. I want to just pray for you guys.